God bless you. Bless the Lord. I wanted to share a testimony. This morning I'm going to talk about Christmas, what's it all about. But before I get to that, this week has been a kind of a strange week for me in terms of preparing for this morning's message. Normally what I do is I present myself to the Lord on Tuesday. Tuesday is my day. This is where I present myself to the Lord, and I say to the Lord, what do you want me to say? And this particular week, what happened was, I went to work on Monday, and I got to work on Monday, and normally what I do is, when I get to work, I'll have a coffee and have a slice of toast, and I'll say to the Lord, good morning, Lord. And when I got to work on Monday, he gave me a passage of scripture in my heart, and I thought, oh, that's lovely. I felt blessed by that. And then on Tuesday, I did what I normally do. I brought myself to the Lord and I said, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to your people? Do you want to give me a Christmas message? Do you want me to talk about Mary and Joseph and the baby in a manger? Because I thought that's what he's going to give me. Surely he's going to give me a Christmas message for the people. That's what I was expecting. And then on Tuesday, nothing at all. Nothing coming down out of heaven. So what I've learned to do is, when that happens, is not to fret. So what I do is, if I don't get anything on a Tuesday, I go back to the Lord on a Wednesday. And then I do the same. I say, Lord, can I have a message? Surely you're going to give me a Christmas message. Surely you want me to talk about angels or the star or the shepherds or something got to do with Christmas story. Surely that's what you want to say. And nothing on a Wednesday. So I thought to myself, don't fret, Alan. Don't get anxious. Don't be worrying. I'll go back to the Lord on a Thursday. So, but what's actually happening in the background is, I am beginning to get a little bit anxious, because Sunday is coming. And when you know that you're getting closer to Sunday, you still don't have anything, you get a little bit twitchy, you know. So I went to the Lord on a Thursday and I said, Lord, surely you want me to talk about the baby Jesus or the angels or something. And nothing on a Thursday. And do you know what began to happen? Is that as I got closer to Sunday, I began to remember what God had given me on a Monday. But what happened was, I didn't see the connection of what he gave me on a Monday with Christmas. And so I realized that which he had given me on a Monday was the message. And I just didn't see the connection. And what I've learned this week is that sometimes God will give you something, but you won't see the connection with your life or with your circumstances or your situation. But all you have to do is just accept what he gives you and just keep that and walk with that. And that's one of the reasons why people find it difficult to become Christians, is because they do not see the connection between Jesus and their own need. They look at Jesus and they look at a Christmas story and they look at their lives and they say, these things don't match. But God is a bit like, his plan and his purpose is a bit like a jigsaw. You know, when you're doing a jigsaw and you put the pieces, and it's only as you get towards the fulfillment of the picture that you stand back and you say, ah, now I see what the picture is. And that kind of happened to me this week. It was towards the end of the week I realized, ah, now I see what the picture is. I get it now. Thank you very much. Bless the Lord. Lord, God is very gracious with us. He's very gracious and he's very gentle. That's the way he is. He's compassionate. He's not hard on us. He understands that we're human. We get it wrong. We mess up. And he's very gentle and compassionate with that. Anyway, I do have a Christmas message, but it's not a traditional Christmas message in that, you know, the Christmas story. But there is a message in there somewhere. I hope you feel blessed by that, you know. So the message that I have is coming from, do you remember the story of Job? Does anybody remember the story of Job? Can you remember? The story of Job was a man. And this man had faith. He was a godly man. And he had a family. And he was very wealthy. We're going to turn to Job chapter 1. We're going to read chapter 1 now in a sec. So if you have your iPads, your phones, or your books, you can tag along with me. But we're going to have a look at Job. And we're going to have a look at his life and what happened. And there is a little message in there. So come with me. Job chapter 1. says this. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. He's some man. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their sisters to eat and drink with them. That's a house party. Ever been to a house party? That's a house party. That's what they got up to, having a house party every now and again. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabines attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept through on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and your daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all of this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Ah, that's a lot to take in, isn't it? It's some story, isn't it? Christmas, what's it all about? As you think to yourself, you probably think, hey, sure, there's no connection between Christmas and Job. Hey, Alan, what are you doing? What are you saying? What's Christmas all about? And I think that that's a question that many people ask themselves at Christmas time. They may not ask it to their friends or to their family, but many people, believers, unbelievers, at the Christmas season, in the quietness of their own heart, they ask themselves, sure, what's it all about? What is Christmas really all about? And I suppose if I was to answer that question, I would say, hey, Christmas is about faith. Because Christmas is a celebration of the giving of a son, of a savior coming to the world, being given by God, being born in a manger. And Christ was born in flesh and in blood through the Holy Spirit, through Mary, the mother of Jesus. And that through him, we have faith. And so if you experience Christmas, you will be reminded of Christ because it's all about Christ. But as you think about Christ, you'll probably think about your own faith in Christ. And so therefore, Christmas is about Christ. And if you think about Christ, you think about faith. Because he came that we could be restored to a relationship with God through faith. And so, Christmas is about Christ, but it's about faith. You have faith, you have Christ. Christmas is about family. Even the Christmas story is about family. Do you remember the Christmas story? That Mary was pregnant with Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And the story says that Mary and Joseph, they went on a journey. And she had the baby. And there was no room at the inn. And so he was born in a manger. And so Mary was there, Joseph was there. The Christmas story say that the shepherds were present. There was angels present. God the Father was present. And so when you think about the Christmas story, you think about the angels, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus at the center. That's family. That's a picture of the family of God. When we join together as a church, we are family. So what is Christmas about? Yes, it's about faith, but it's also about family. That's what you guys will be doing. That's what the nation and the world will be doing. We will be joining together with family. It's also about fortune. Not fortune as in the sense that you're rich with loads of money or earthly treasures, but more of a sense of being rich with the love of God. Christmas is a time where we know the richness of the love of God and the presence of God. And so therefore, A person can say, I'm fortunate, I'm blessed, I am included in the family of God, and so therefore I'm rich, I'm blessed, I am included. And so I'm fortunate, I'm blessed. And so it was for Jesus as a baby. There was no room at the inn, but he was fortunate that there was a manger. He was fortunate that he had a mother, he had an earthly father that were there with him. And so he grew up and he could say, I'm blessed. I'm fortunate. I am rich in that sense. And festivity. Christmas is about festivity. For what is festivity? It is celebration. It's a time for celebrating. It's a time of joy and rejoicing. We worship God and we give thanks to God our Father for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all about rejoicing. And festivity, we do that through food, through fellowship, through drinks, through getting together. And so if somebody was to ask me, hey, Alan, what's Christmas all about? I would say, hey, it's the four F's. It's all about faith. It's about family. It's about fortune. And it's about festivity. But for many people, at this time of year, they struggle with Christmas. They struggle with the season of Christmas. And for many people out there in the communities, out there in the world, they probably wouldn't gravitate to some of these things. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. But for many people, they're disillusioned. They're asking themselves, what's it all about? They're not clear in their mind or they're not clear in their heart. They're disillusioned with Christmas or the Christmas season or the Christmas message. For many, they feel a sense of disconnected, that there are many people who are gathering together and celebrating together, but for some individuals, they feel that sense of being distant from everything that's taken place. There are people in this world who feel disconnected. And there are others who feel a sense of disappointment. They don't look forward to Christmas. They don't look forward to that season because they feel in some way that it's a big disappointment for them. I know I know family, I know friends who they don't celebrate Christmas because for them it's just one big disappointment. That's the reality for many people today. And unfortunately, for some people, they feel discouraged, even though Christmas and the message of Christmas is meant to encourage your faith. There are people today who feel discouraged. That's Christmas, unfortunately. As I was thinking about these things, do you know the thing that I remembered was Job. He actually experienced all of that. You see, Job was a man of faith. The Bible says that he was blameless and upright and he shunned evil. He did those things and lived that lifestyle because he was a man of faith. He was a family man. He had a wife, he had sons and he had daughters who used to have house parties in their houses. But he was a family man. He knew what it was to be a family man. He knew the joy of being a family man. If you're a family man, you'll know the comfort and the joy and the privilege what it is to be a family man. He had family. Not only did he have faith and family, but the story actually tells us that he had fortune. He had thousands of sheep. He had thousands of camels. He had thousands of donkeys. In other words, he was wealthy. He was a man of fortune. And he knew festivity. His sons and his daughters, they celebrated in their homes. They had house parties from time to time. And Job, he knew those things. And so he wasn't immune from those things. But unfortunately, the story of chapter 1 also tells us that he lost. He lost family. The story says that his sons and his daughters were taken. The house came down on top of them. It's a sad story. He actually lost his fortune. The story of chapter 1 tells us that he lost his fortune. So this story of Job is a story of a man of faith, but a man who has lost family, a man who lost fortune, and a man who lost festivity. If you lose festivity, you lose joy. You lose the joy of celebrating. And the story of Job is a story of a man who lost many things. Chapter 1 tells us plainly that here he was, a man of faith, a man of family, fortune, festivity. And so here, look, you don't lose those things without becoming disillusioned. You don't lose family or fortune or festivity without losing or experiencing a sense of disconnected or disappointment or discouragement. And so when I think about Job, I think about Job in this way. I think that he was a man of faith, family, fortune, festivity, but because he lost his family and he lost his fortune and he lost the joy, you don't lose those things without becoming disillusioned, disconnected, disappointed or discouraged in some way. And so, Job, do you know what happens in the story? The story is that he lost all of these things, but there was one thing that he did not lose. He did not lose faith. That's the one thing the story of Job is known for. If you were to read the pages of the story of Job, it documents that he lost family, he lost the joy, he lost his fortune, he lost all of those things, which is having an immense effect on his life. But there is one thing that he does not lose. There is one thing that he holds on to. There is one thing that he grasps and he says to himself and he says to God, I will not lose faith. He holds on to his faith. And so that's the story of Job. Is that in the midst of pain and in the midst of loss and in the midst of trial and in the midst of suffering and in the midst of taking all of these things and losing them, he does not lose faith. He holds on to his faith. That's the story of Job. He holds on to his faith. What's God saying to you? He's saying, hold on to your faith. If in any way during the Christmas season, you become disillusioned in any way, hold on to your faith. If in any way you become discouraged for whatever reason, you got to hold on to your faith. If in any way, for any reason, you become disappointed in someone or in yourself or in some sort of situation, you got to hold on to your faith. just like Job. And if in any way you feel disconnected as you watch everybody else gather and celebrate and get together, but you feel this sense of being distant or not being in, hold on to your faith. Hold on to your faith in all situations. Stand on your faith. Use your faith. Get clarity from your faith. Maintain your faith. And be like Job. Hold on to your faith. Actually, what happened in the story was, is that in chapter 2, Job has some friends, some mates, three of them. They leave their houses and they come to where Job is and they sit with him. And Job, because he has lost family and fortune and he's lost so much, they choose to sit with him and to be present with him. And that's a friend. Isn't that what a friend is? A friend is one who comes when you're in need, when you're in pain, and is present with you. And that's what they did. And so the story says that he sat in mourning and suffering and sorrow, and they sat with him, and they began to speak with him. And what happened was, I want to share with you this particular portion of Scripture. One of his friends, and his name was Zophar. And in chapter 11, Zophar says these words to Job. And these were the words that the Lord shared with me on Monday. And I want to share them with you. This is Job's friend encouraging Job in the midst of pain and in the midst of sorrow and in the midst of disillusionment and in the midst of discouragement because of everything that's been taken away from him. These are the words that his friend Zophar says. And he says this. They're found in chapter 11, verses 13 to 19. Yet if you devote your heart to him and you stretch out your hands to him, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then, free of fault, you will lift up your face. You will stand firm without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than the noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. Friends, this is faith. This is the life of faith. If you ever wanted to see what a relationship with God is and what it looks like this. Because faith in the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of loss, in the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, faith, maintaining faith, walking in faith is what this is. It is a heart that is devoted to him. It is where a person says, Lord, I devote my heart to you because the heart is wherever your treasure is. Jesus says, whatever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Treasure is discovered. It is not rewarded. And so therefore, if your heart is towards Christ, it's because you have discovered that he is your treasure. This is faith. Stretch out your hands to him. It's a picture of an individual who has stretched out their hands. When you stretch out your hands, you are praising, you are worshiping him. You are like a little child that says to his father, pick me up, daddy, pick me up. And so therefore, when we stretch out our hands to God, our loving father, we, like little children, are saying, Lord, will you pick me up? Pick me up that I may be found in your hands and found in your arms. Have you, as a parent, ever picked a child up and held them? That's what we do when we stretch out our hands to God, our Father. He picks us up. You see, when you stretch out your hands to God, you actually become vulnerable. Nobody dared to tickle me at this moment because I can't do tickles. If anybody was to approach me, don't even attempt to, but I would just run. Because I'm very vulnerable when somebody touches me. And you see, when you worship God and you stretch out your hands to Him, not only are you saying to God, I worship you, but you're actually saying, I am becoming vulnerable in your presence as I stretch out my hands to Him. And so therefore, that's a picture of worship. When you stretch out your hands, you're saying, Lord, I'm making myself vulnerable to you. And there is no better person to make yourself vulnerable to than the Lord your God. If you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, you see, people of faith, like Job, are people who shun evil. They say, hey, there are some things that I will not allow it in my life because the Lord says no. If He says no, I say no. And so therefore, I'm saying no to this, but I'm saying yes to that. And so as a people of God, we say no to sin. We say no to evil, but we say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, free of fault, you will lift up your face. Isn't that just beautiful? That when God looks at you, He says, you're free of fault because I've forgiven you. I have forgiven you. And so therefore, you can stand in God's presence with a sense of, I'm free. I am free because He has forgiven me. And I can stand in the presence of God with no shame, not looking over my shoulder, not cowering down in a corner. I can stand in the presence of God free of fault, because He has declared that you are blameless. You are forgiven. If God says you're forgiven, you're forgiven. He forgets your sin. He removes it. That's why Jesus was laid on the cross. He took your sin, and when He took it, that means it's gone. You are a forgiven people. And so therefore, you will stand firm without fear. Isn't that just lovely? To stand in the presence of God and to stand firm. That's what Psalm 40 is all about. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the miry pit and placed me upon a rock. And when He places you on that rock is Christ. He is your firm foundation. He is the rock of your life. He is the foundation of your life and of your faith. And so therefore, you stand and you stand firm on Christ. He is your rock. And when you stand in the midst of turbulence, in the midst of pain, in the midst of difficulty, you say, I'm making my stand and I'm standing on Christ. I'm standing on His word. He has enabled me to stand firm. In and of myself, I won't be able to stand firm, but through the grace and through the power of the Lord, He enables me to stand firm. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it as waters gone by. Isn't that lovely? To a picture of a river where the water flows. It's like our trouble. When our troubles are in the water, they just flow downstream. And so it is, and may it be in your life. May it be that whatever trouble you've had or whatever trouble you encounter, may it be that you recall it as waters gone by, that it's gone downstream and I see it no more. And so it is in your life and mine, that we recall our troubles as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than the noonday and darkness will become like morning. This is what God offers you. He says, I've got a future for you that is bright. I've got a future for you that is shining bright like the noonday sun. When the sun shines at the noon, it shines at its brightness. And so it is for your life, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And that plan and that purpose is a bright, shining light. Life will be brighter. We all want a brighter life. Who does not want a brighter life? That brighter life is found in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be secure because there is hope. Friends, you have hope. The Lord Jesus is your hope. As you place your faith in Him, remember that tomorrow there is another day, and that the day after tomorrow is another day, that whatever takes place today, I have hope. Whatever comes against me or you, you have hope, and that hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Place your hope in Him, and you will not be dismayed. He is your hope. You will look about you, and you'll take your rest in safety. You'll lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. You'll lie down with no one to make you afraid. That's resting in peace. When God calls you to Himself, when you place your faith in Him, when you devote your heart to Him, when you stretch out your hands to Him, when you look up with your face towards Him, these are the things that He will do for you. You will be secure. Your life will begin to shine. Your troubles will be gone as waters gone by. You will lie down in safety because God has given you peace and God will give you rest. Friends, the story of Job is a story of a man who had faith, who had family, who had fortune, who had festivity, who lost so much. But there is one thing he did not lose, and that is his faith. And so therefore, this morning, what is the Christmas message? It's this. Hold on to your faith. That if you lose anything, hold on to your faith. What does faith look like? It looks like this. It's a person who has devoted all of themselves. That's why I've highlighted those words in red. Because it's the heart, it's the hands, it's the face, it's the standing, which is the feet, and it's the forgetting, which is your mind. It's a picture of all the body parts of a person. It's your hands, it's your heart, it's your feet, it's your mind. It's the total you. And so this morning, hold on to your faith. Stand in your faith. Keep your faith in the midst of difficulty. If you become disillusioned in any way, get clarity through your faith. If you become discouraged in any way, allow your faith to bring the encouragement that you need. If in any way you become or feel that sense of disconnectment in any way, remember that you are a person who is included in the family of God, but hold on to your faith. There are many things that we can lose, but Job is a story of a man who chose not to lose his faith. And so this morning, God's message to you at this Christmas time, as we celebrate the birth of a Savior, is to hold on to your faith. And what does faith look like? What does a relationship of faith look like? It looks like this. A person of devotion. A person of worship. A person who chooses to stand. A person who will be secure and safe. And God will do so much for you that He will cause your life to shine, because of His Spirit in you and because of His love towards you. This morning, I invite you just to respond to the Lord. Maybe you'd like to say, Lord, I'm going to hold on to my faith, that my faith is precious to me. And so this morning, in the presence of God, maybe you're experiencing some of the things that Job experienced. Maybe you, in some way, have lost something. But maybe you can say this morning, Lord, I hold on to my faith. My faith in Christ, my faith in the Lord, is what is treasure to me. And as you do that, I am confident that God will come to you, and that life will be brighter than a noonday sun, and that any darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because you have hope. You will look around you and you will take your rest in safety. You will lie down and no one will make you afraid, and many will court your favor because you have placed your faith on the rock, that is Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Bless the Lord.